This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 1st of December, 1954. The title of this lecture is Opening Procedure of 8C. This lecture is 30 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Very glad to talk to you this morning on the subject of the opening procedure of 8C. Opening procedure of 8C has done it again, and is doing it, rather, on a particular case which has been around for some time and has been audited by every auditor on the East Coast and has not been audited by every auditor on the West Coast for the good reason the case has never been West, but has been audited by everybody on the East Coast, selectively and collectively, each auditor into desperation. And as a result, the case was reported continuously never to have gained. No change. Family desperate about this person. Little bit of mimicry, two-way communication in HC yesterday, and this case is on the way out. The difference of 8C and older processes is the difference between a complete failure, as far as older cases were concerned, a complete failure, and a relatively easy case. Slight difference there, isn't there? Huh? Where every auditor of the old foundation, you might say, who was still in practice actively throughout 1953, every Scientologist that these people could lay their hands on had failed, simply because they didn't have opening procedure of 8C. Now, this makes the second case that's coming up out of the woods with fair. See, nobody's even been able to get communication with this case before. It's less than that. Second case that was coming out of the woods after a relatively short period of auditing on the same process. 8C, oddly enough, is a cycle buster. Now, you're given to believe by your tone scale, the only thing you should do is two-way communication and elementary straight wire and so forth at those ranges of the tone scale, but this is not particularly true. It is only true that you have to start every session with some sort of two-way communication. This is quite true. See, this is quite true. That two-way communication might be verbal, it might be mimicry. It's very true. As far as straight wire is concerned, straight wire is just a little bit off the track there. The trouble with straight wire on 8C is they are verbalizing everything, and the words are relatively meaningless to a psychotic. Straight wire questions are relatively meaningless to a psychotic. This person can get into physical communication, but could not get into verbal communication, you see. So straight wire just drops out. You should understand this. It just drops out as a process. If you just go from two-way communication to 8C when you're handling a psychotic. You get them there as soon as possible, and you keep them there as long as possible, and you audit them on HC, maintaining some sort of two-way communication, whether mimicry or otherwise, and still auditing HC on them until they can do parts A, B, and C of opening procedure of HC quite well. If you overload them, they are liable to do a reduction of tone. By overload them, I mean ask them too much dunnage. You ask them, for instance, now who really did touch that wall? And boy, in nearly every cycle I know of, you'll draw some either a complete blank, or you will draw an utterly silly answer, just completely silly, such as that chair touched it. I've had them say they touched the wall with a finger. And you were to say, who touched the wall? And they would say the chair touched it. This is, that. After a while, they'll tell you, well, my arm did it. You see where the assignment of responsibility is. But that's too tough for a psycho. This is something you practice when they've broken through in the neurotic state and they're going on up the line. It means lots of auditing. It means lots of auditing on a cycle, but any nowhere near the terms of time which it was in the past. Nowhere near time. This is a remarkable thing. You see, psychosis is a highly specialized way of getting people interested. Very, very highly specialized. A psychotic seems to be under the control of a great many entities, things, circuits, anything you want to call them, demon circuits, first book, so on. And these dictate strange and always very interesting manifestations. We mustn't overlook that about a cycle. These very interesting manifestations are there in order to be interesting, but they are being done by a circuit and are not under the control of the cycle. It's just as though this fellow was inhabited. So back a couple thousand years ago when they didn't know much about it, they could say, my name is Legion because I have so many devils in me. And for a couple of thousand years afterwards, the medical and psychiatric profession went on casting out demons. Only today they cast them out in object form. They cast out the appendix. They cast out the teeth. They cast out so forth. They found out they couldn't cast out demons, so they cast out other things. And their philosophy is definitely this. If you will just get rid, see, of this object, something like that, you get well. Well, earlier it was cast out the demon. Well, there isn't any reason to cast out a demon. This is nonsense. Let's forget about casting out demons. It is necessary, however, to put circuits under control. Either blot them out or control them. The second a circuit is controlled, it ceases to be a circuit. It's odd, isn't it? The second that a circuit is controlled, it ceases to be a circuit. That which makes it a circuit is that it is an automaticity. So the moment you control an automaticity, it's gone. All right. Let me give you a little example of this. This girl came in talking, jabbering French. A schoolbook French. Just pattern French phrases like quoting from a grammar. You know, just nothing but that. And occasional interjection of a French phrase which made sense, you see, but most of it just out of a grammar book. And the moment she was answered in French, let's get the idea here real clear, because this is a very slippy point. If you get this, boy, can you audit. And you don't get this, you'll get fooled and fooled and fooled by frequency. So she's saying French phrase and French phrase and French phrase. And the auditor, myself in this case, said I audited her for about 3 minutes. Which is a long session for that kind of person. If you really want their attention, get their attention and snap them out of a very desperately bad band. You know, if you could just get their attention and get that two-way communication through there and so forth, get them responding on a two-way communication base, you just see them come right up the tone scale. It happens fast when it happens with a cycle. Now, there's a lot of drill and grueling this to it, but you know the second they go into communication how far they've jumped. You just sort of feel the return of life into the situation. All right. I answered this girl in French. And right away, she went into deaf and dumb talk. Why? Because it was a circuit. And what can't a circuit stand? Now let's look at this real quick. What can't a circuit stand? It can't stand duplication, can it? So therefore, it's an only one thing. And its only decision would then be to be more interesting and more unduplicatable, right? So the more you would validate a circuit or answer a circuit or try to duplicate a circuit or go into two-way communication with a circuit, the less liable you are to have your pre-clear in communication with you. Follow that? Here's what she did. I'll give you this example very graphically. She went into deaf and dumb talk. She immediately could not talk at all. She was going and making big hand signals. Now, what do you suppose would have happened if I'd turned around and made hand signals with him? She probably would have gone into catatonia or something. Would she have been gaining? Now, wait a minute.
No.
Look here. You're trying to get into communication with the preplanner, with the person, not with his machinery. And so the whole hub of the subject of mimicry has to be what you mimic. Don't mimic circuits. Mimic what is usual. Mimic the real. Mimic what is ordinary and routine amongst human beings. But don't mimic terrifically unusual manifestations. Now, if you understand that, then mimicry will always work for you. And you will never get these fluky ones whereby you did mimicry with this case and it didn't get any better. These cases kept changing into other things, you see. You see this? Mimic the ordinary, the routine, the real, never the weird, bizarre, or strange. See? This person nods his head. Check. There's your mimicry, nod the head. Supposing the person was nodding his head and going this way and pointing at his foot. Don't point at his foot, nod your head. There's a circuit, there's no meaning to the fact that he's pointing at his foot. He doesn't mean even to call your attention to his foot. It's just an interesting manifestation. You get the idea? Let's say this person came up to you and Abajaroo Kuala Kuala, Abajaroo Kuala Kuala, Abajaroo Kuala Kuala. If you turned around and then said Abajaroo Kuala Kuala, the person would then do something else. So you would at least change his behavior pattern, and he would do something else, such as scram, scram, scram. And if you went going, start going scram, 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 he'd simply do something else. What are you doing? Not communication with pre-clear, communication with the circuit. What would happen if you sat down to audit an engram and started talking to the demon circuits that were answering the pre-clear? Well, that's the same thing in physical mimicry, isn't it? So, all right, we've got this pre-clear. This pre-clear is saying a bunch of schoolbook French. The schoolbook French is answered. See, I just wanted to drive this thing in some direction or another. I answered the schoolbook French, and the person immediately goes deaf and dumb. See? So I say, okay, you're really a circuit case, aren't you? I say to myself. Changed instantly that you got a duplication. Okay. Next step. Person was nodding. So I nodded. Didn't follow through with the deaf and dumb. But the person was nodding. In between all of these things. So I nodded. The person all of a sudden looked at me and nodded. We got a duplication, didn't we? What's the essence of communication? It's a duplication, isn't it? A circuit can't, won't duplicate. And when you get a non-duplicating thing, you're not in communication with the frequency. See that? We duplicate the French, no repetition, no two-way communication. I duplicated the deaf and dumb talk. No two-way communication. A nod? Sure, fine. Next thing you know, we had a little conversation. Fast and rather unintelligible, but definitely a conversation. What would you expect a psycho would be worried about? Well, what do you think a psycho is basically worried about? There's a certain kind of problem they're always worried about. This uniformly. They may express it in a thousand different psychotic ways, but it's the same thing. Why is there all this hate and lust and greed in the world? Why is everybody so nasty? Why is everybody so terrible? Why is it all so bad over there? You get the idea? Why is it all so bad? Why is it so horrible? Why is it so terrible? And what could one possibly do about it? This was the conversation. Just as such, see, bang, into communication. Why is it so horrible? Of course, I gave her a perfectly sensible answer. I said, well, all right, if there's all this in the world, then somebody, of course, has to put out some love and understanding. And so that's the way you conquer all this. You just put put out some love and understanding, and somebody's got to. If nobody else is going to, well, you. New thought. Brand new thought. We're in communication for a moment, and she shook me by the hand, and her two people accompanying her looked very, very startled, because this person hadn't been in communication with anybody for a long time. Looked very startled, looked kind of cowed, looked at me, at recognizing, of course, none of the mechanics of what had occurred. It looked like pure necromancy. This person hadn't talked to anybody for months. See? All right, they were very, very pleased about this. The case then went over and went into a little mimicry, two-way communication with her auditor. And he started out. He actually got her to an HC very, very nicely. And she's on her way. Well, of course, you can expect to bog, particularly if she's overstrained. A psycho's span of attention is quite short. It gets longer, but their span of attention is actually very, very short, so that their lucid moments are quite brief sometimes. But that's their span of attention factor. They can't stand putting that much attention on something. And yet he worked her for quite a while. Had her going over and putting her hand on the wall, and before he had done this, he had asked her where the wall was, something like this, and she didn't know. And she came out of that, she knew where the wall was, and so forth. In other words, he was able to go straight from mimicry into HC. Now, the reason he could do that is because he knew these principles too. He did not mimic all of the oddities, all of the strange things this person was doing. These were not mimicked. You see? All right, he just mimicked the ordinary, the usual, and he did the average routine thing, see? And the second he did that, he put her into reality and agreement. You start validating reality. What is the usual agreed upon procedure in this particular environment at this time? You validate that, your pre-clear goes into communication with you. If you don't validate that, if you validate improper and peculiar behavior, you'll get the freaky, spotty results gotten by such a person as Freda Fromm Reichmann. Freda Fromm Reichmann does not know very much about the mind. She is a psychiatrist, of course, doesn't know very much at all. But this person, nevertheless, uses a process by which she will simply duplicate everything a psycho is doing, and thus one way or another get into communication with them. Of course, where does she raise the person to? What tone point would she raise a person to by simply mimicking everything? What would be her usual result? It would be exactly the same result as happened to that girl standing there in my office in 2 minutes. You see? I mean, that would be the lucky punch, and that would be as high as the case would go. No further technique known. See? Anything else unknown, just this trick. Now, where would she fail? Where would the great Freda Fromm Reichmann, the way she refers to herself, psychiatrist, you know, where and how would she fail? She would fail because she is unable herself to see that one should validate the real, the average, the agreed upon behavior, and one should not mimic the unreal, the strange, the peculiar, and the bizarre. See that? Just let those things fall flat. Why? Because every time you validate them, you are saying, you're giving that circuit a win. You're saying to this circuit, look, you really are interesting. And that's the only thing a circuit's trying to do, trying to be interesting. What is it saying? Gub, 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 gub. Or all auditors are no good, or something. Whatever it's saying, you see, validation of the circuit tells it that it has been interesting, and you can make a psycho worse and lose him, you know, lose his attention, and so on, simply by mimicking the bizarre, and so on. Now, an auditor down in Tucson had a psychotic boy, and she did this boy quite a bit of good, but the funny part of it was that she didn't quite spot where she was winning. She came back and gave me an account of the case, and I was very busy. I think it was right at the beginning of a lecture. I didn't ever tell her the rest of this. But the point was that the boy was jumping up and down in the chair. Bounce, 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 see, in the chair. And she would go bounce, 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 bounce in the chair. Should she have gone bounce, bounce, bounce? No. Bizarre, weird, and unusual. Get the idea? So it took her a lot longer to do something for this boy. Along with every time she'd mimic the bizarre or the unusual, that would set this character just that much further back. See? But she, unconsciously or otherwise, was also mimicking the average. She was sitting in a chair. So was he. Regardless of what else she was doing, she was sitting, he was sitting. She was looking and she was breathing. So was he. There was an interchange of attention between the two, and so he got wet. You got this. I mean, this, the total factors, regardless of the amount of exercise in imitating the bizarre and the unusual, she was with the boy enough, her attitude, her own feeling of goodwill toward man was great enough so that all of this just pulled him out of it. But she was going to an enormous amount of extra work, and if she'd gone to any more work along that line, she would have lost the case. See, I mean, he wouldn't have gained at all. You see where the trap was then in this mimicry? If the fellow can be made cognizant of reality, if he's cognizant of reality, then he will get in good shape, won't he? You know, he's going to find reality. What's reality? It's an agreed upon perception, isn't it? It's that which is generally and broadly agreed upon, right? Is that reality? Okay, then you certainly better take average conduct to try to restore your pre-clear to if you want him to face reality. He can become bizarre and peculiar afterwards. See? But don't take an unreal or bizarre manifestation on the part of your pre-clear and mimic it if you expect a greater reality to occur in the pre-clear moment. This is a point which I'm not giving it to you as the most important thing in the world, because look, you can even mimic these other things. You can make 1,000 mistakes, you can still win. You're not playing on that tight line. Remember this, the very fast result, the fast result, the 2-minute quickie, you know, that sort of thing. Get them into communication, boom, they're in communication, see? It's just on the basis of you know exactly what average thing they're doing that you can pick up that will be duplicated. And the second that that duplicates back and forth, you're in. It's like that. See, and then you're in communication. The odd part of it is I've processed a lot of pre-clears with a smile. Real psychos, real raven ones. Smile at them. Nobody's done that for years. There's a lot of ARC in a smile, isn't there? Just the fact somebody would smile at them and look at them with something besides revulsion or something of the sort would be enough to bump them into communication. Walking through a sanitarium one day with the great, oh, I love these psychiatrists, they're so only one-ish. This fellow, they're all liars too. This fellow claimed to have invented electric shock. Imagine lying about that, but he didn't invent electric shock or anything like it, but he claims to, and says in his pamphlets and publications that he did. He's a great psychiatrist, you understand. And he was telling me how everybody was out of communication everywhere in the sanitarium and so forth. And so we walked down the hall, and I said, I don't know, do you have insane people here? Yes. What do you mean? Well, he says, it's the difference between a trained observer. You know, I'm trained. I know they're crazy. You don't. I said, are you, these are. He looked at me with great contempt. I said, like this young man coming up toward us? He gave this guy a smile, a lot of ARCs, and boom. Hi, how you doing here? How you like the place? He says, the place is all right. He says, but that jerk you're walking with is real dopish. And this fellow went from rage and then into apathy because nobody'd ever gotten a word out of this young man before. Instead of validating Dianetics, Anytime I've ever done anything around a psychiatrist or something, it simply validates demonology or witchcraft or something like that. They immediately assign it over into the field of demonology. So he said, well, it's just obvious you have some sort of a knack, he said, an insight. That's all. See, he goes into no explanation promptly. All right. These people start into psychosis by running away from the average, but they go into communication by facing it in the field of mimicry. And from there, you just get them right straight into HC. Zoom! See, this is quick as you possibly can, with as little upset to their intellect, such as who's doing it or any other comments about it and so forth. And you still keep up the feeling that it's an average thing by yourself standing up. Don't ever run a psychiatrist, psychotic thing. Sitting down, don't ever run one sitting down, if you can possibly help it. You see, actually, do you know that you will not get re-stimulated if you mimic with a psychotic? The re-stimulative factors are just zero. You're all the time expressing your perfect willingness to duplicate them, see? You're not resisting along the line. And the fact that you're just standing there while they're standing there, and sitting there while they're sitting there, and you lie back on the bed while they lie back on the bed, something like this, you know. It's perfectly all right for you to do this, and you recognize it's all right for you to do this. You don't re-stimulate. Am I curious? A lot of auditors are superstitious about psychotics. They think they have some horrible effluvium or something that comes off of them. That they drink their energy. These guys are dramatizing vampirism or something when they think of this sort of thing. It's not true. A psychotic doesn't do anything to an auditor or anybody else. See, that's the trouble with him. He has no horsepower. See, it's like, you know, some perfectly average guy, you know, that getting out in the workaday world and doing a lot of work and so forth. You start to audit this boy, you're right in there. And you get a hold of one of these high super-powered salesmen or something of the sort, the guy that's running on 16 cylinders all the time, you start auditing, and you know you've been in the arena, but you feel pretty good about it. All right, how about the psycho? How about the other fellow? Well, what you're auditing there is the one peanut whistle station. See, that's the trouble with him, is actually that he has no horsepower left in any direction. It isn't a matter, he just isn't developing any. It isn't that he can't develop it, it's just that he doesn't. And a psychotic is not doing any power output. Now, we see them go into furious physical strength sometimes, but for heaven's sakes, that's just physical strength, so what? As far as power output is concerned, electrical and energy manifestation, so forth, they're just incapable along this line. They don't. They apparently see them going around physically being very, very strong and so forth, but that's just physical strength. The one you want to be afraid of, by the way, on an electrical manifestation is a little baby. They get a little baby, see, he's real good condition, he hasn't got a lot of mass stopping him, he feels real horsepowerish. You come up and sneer at him. You're liable to get an energy mass straight in your face. I mean, just some electrical energy. Spat! I've actually felt it several times. I've brought around and tested it and gotten outside and wiped it off my forehead. Just on a basis of that, you know, horsepower. Their psycho has no horsepower. The process that really gets him up there, and now has worked many times for us, really gets him up there, is mimic the average and so get him into communication. And then do HC, and if he goes out of communication, mimic the average again, and then do some more HC. And that is the way we handle a psychotic today. And that is why HC is a tremendously important process, done exactly as laid out. You could not begin to exaggerate the importance of HC. I can give you 1,000 reasons why. All of them good, valid reasons. But the reason why HC is good is because there are 1,000 reasons why. Okay. When you handle a psychotic, you handle somebody who's very neurotic, if you forget everything else, just remember this. Mimic the average. Do opening procedure of HC. mimic the average until you're in a little bit of communication with them, then opening procedure of 8C. Don't be afraid while you're auditing them to go over and put your finger on them while they're putting their finger on. Direct their attention to very broad, big objects. You know, whoa, floor. And don't make anything too tough, and don't audit them too long consecutively because their attention span is slight. Okay, thank you very much.